Welcome to episode 62 of the Collaborative Business Podcast. My name is Peter Simons, and in this episode we will dive into the topic of partnership marketing. As you will hear, this particular type of business-to-business collaboration has many similarities with creating strategic alliances, but also it has some specific elements typical to partnership marketing. My guest today is Mark Burnett, who has over 20 years of experience in partnership marketing and is the founder and president of Partnership Source. Now let's welcome Mike to the conversation. Well, Mike, welcome to the Collaborative Business Podcast.
Thanks, Peter. My pleasure.
We connected on LinkedIn. I think it was early this summer. And we connected also, when I look back to our correspondence it was about, obviously, about partnerships. So that's what we're going to talk about today in our conversation. But before we do, let's provide a little clarity about who you are and what you do to our listeners.
Excellent. So currently, I'm the president and founder of Partnership Source. We are a marketing agency specializing in partnership marketing, developing partnerships for our clients. On the front end, we're a little bit of a matchmaker. So we'll find two brands, two companies that have similar demographics, and find ways that they can work together. And not only do we put the partners together, but then we do a lot of the execution on the back end as well, as far as making sure the promotions execute flawlessly, and then reporting on the results after the partnership has wrapped up. Prior to Partnership Source, my background in partnership marketing goes deep within the magazine industry. And that's where I really learned partnership marketing. And with magazines, worked with a number of different categories, but always thought that there was room to branch out and pursue partnerships on a larger wholesale basis among a lot of different consumer-facing categories. So now the two biggest categories that we focus on right now are the travel industry and still media, and still do a lot in magazines.
Now, you started and you used the term partnership marketing a couple of times. What is partnership marketing?
Well, partnership marketing is it's really just, you know, and there's a lot of different definitions depending on who you speak with, but from my perspective, it's really about two individual brands, companies, et cetera, finding ways to market together. So whether that be through joint promotion, it could be one company is using the other company's product as an incentive. There's a lot of different levels that you could pursue partnership marketing. Could be a joint email acquisition campaign. But it's really, at the end of the day, it's really taking two different brands' assets and leveraging them to work together. And so those assets could be just goodwill. You know, you could just be working with a brand and they have a great reputation and a solid track record for years and years and a good reputation with their customer base. And the other brand wants to tap into that. So there's a lot of different ways that you can pursue partnership marketing, but it's really about taking assets from two different brands and working together to market to a similar audience.
Okay, I understand. And would that also include creating a joint product together for something that's not there yet from an innovation perspective, or would you stick to existing solutions and brands that are already there?
Could absolutely be a new product. So, I mean, you see it all the time, especially in the licensing world, and I would consider licensing certainly as a form of partnership marketing. But you might see, for instance, you know, Oreo cookies come out with a Reese's peanut butter cup brand of Oreos. So you could see where there's a new product being developed that pulls in one brand from another company. to help launch product. So that happens many times. And licensing is where you see that quite often, where someone wants to launch a new product and they say, you know what, let's tap into a brand that's known worldwide and use that brand's goodwill to help launch our product. So I mean, in licensing, for instance, you see that with Breyers Ice Cream here in the United States has a Reese's peanut butter cup ice cream, and then there's been Oreo Reese's cups, and there's probably 100 different products out there that Reese's Cups has partnered with to help develop a product to launch out of the gate.
Okay, I understand. And I recognize it indeed. I know an example here in Europe. Well, at least the companies in Europe, but I believe their products, their specific product is available global, where Philips is working together and licensing parts of Disney for a specific light that's tailored towards children. So they license in the Disney figures to put on their lamps. So from that perspective, I see the licensing part, and it's very recognizable. When you talk about your business, do you work globally or specifically in a geographical area?
Mostly focused in the U.S., but we do some business internationally. One of my newer clients is Etou France, which is the tourism bureau for France. Mm-hmm. And we primarily though work with them in generating partnerships here in the U.S. But do work some globally. But I would say 95% of our business right now is in the U.S. The areas of the world that where we have the most conversations going would be mostly English speaking countries. Australia. Singapore has a huge partnership marketing agency that we've collaborated with from time to time. The UK is huge for partnerships. There's actually a company there, small luxury hotels of the world is based in the UK, and we've done some work with them. We're certainly versed in capable of doing business anywhere, but I'd say 95% right now is probably in the US.
Okay, and listening to you, you establish your own partnerships as well for your own company.
As far as establishing our own partnerships, I mean, I do work, yes, with other agencies. That would be more from a B2B side, but yes, mm-hmm. We do work with other agencies and tap into their relationships. Work with dozen plus consultants in the U.S. and internationally, and those consultants are tapping into their relationships, and we're finding out where they have relationships that can tap into some of our clients and some of the other relationships that we have. So what I do from an agency side, it really is, a lot of it is relationship driven, and so networking is key. It's good to know a lot of different people at a lot of different brands. We also own the largest partnership marketing group online on LinkedIn, which is called the Partnership Marketing Alliance. And so that kind of gives you an idea of the overall network that we have. But that is a big key part in finding partnerships, is to have an established network, because then it's easier to reach out to people that you already know in specific industries, at specific brands, to tap into, potential promotions, et cetera.
Yeah. Now, in line with that, in your introduction, you mentioned that you work often as a matchmaker, where you find partners to work together and you do part of the execution and report back the results. A few weeks ago, I wrote an article on my website with the question as a title: can you outsource alliance management? And interesting enough, I had people who indeed said, yes, very interesting, it can be done, and people who said, I wish you good luck, it will not work. So you are clearly
more or less insourcing this part of the partnership for your customers. How does that work?
Well, I mean, essentially, that's what we are. I mean, we when a brand wants to outsource, they come to an agency like ours, and so you know, in some cases, I work with brands and they have their own partnership marketing people established. In other cases, we're just working with the marketing department and they may not have specific partnership marketing personnel on board. But partnership marketing is in many ways an out-of-the-box function at many companies still. So it's a growing endeavor. And so you do find that partnership marketers are somewhat rare still. Mm-hmm. But it's to make it work outside of your company. I mean, one key is communication. The other is trust. For a company like mine to be able to effectively help a brand with their partnerships, we have to really know what that brand's objectives are. We have to know, and we have to keep that in mind through the entire partnership process. And so, you know, if you're working with one, let's just say you're working, for instance, we do a lot of travel, work with a lot of travel brands, for instance. So if I'm working with a travel destination, you know, like Etude France, and I want to help find them partnerships, I have got to know as much as their own staff knows what the objectives are of a particular campaign or their marketing efforts. And so then I have to go out and find partners who want to cooperate and work with us. And then also I have to make sure that those partners' objectives align with ours. So that's where it does get tricky sometimes. You've got two partners in the mix and many times more. We're doing more and more partnerships that are three partners. I've got one right now that could actually have seven or eight partners in the mix. And so you just have to make sure all those partners' goals align, and it, you know, it's easy to do a partnership and focus on one brand, and then the other brand, you don't necessarily help their objectives. But you, if you want to have a successful partnership, everybody at the end of that campaign or promotion has to look at it as a success, not just one party. But that's the key. You know, if a brand is going to outsource their efforts, they have to. They have to, one, make sure that the agency they're working with is versed in their needs and very aware of what they're looking to achieve. And they have to, you know, they have to know the brand. They have to know, you know, the demographics of that brand. They have to know as much as somebody working at that brand would. So that's key, but that's what, you know, a partnership source we pride ourselves on.
And I assume that that's part of the intake when you work with a new client, that you, as part of the intake, you work hard to get to know them very well.
Absolutely, absolutely. So a lot of research that we do independently, and then, of course, a lot of collaboration with our client initially just to find out what their long-term and short-term marketing objectives are. Yeah.
And you're specialized in basically two industries, travel and media. Would it be possible to do this for a wide variety of industries, or is that specialization indeed needed to do it well?
Well, I mean, the more specialized, the better you can achieve results. But we do partnerships in all consumer facing industries, basically. Mm-hmm. So I'll work with, we do a lot with retailers, internet publishers are also big. So media and media magazines and then travel are certainly the two areas that are the biggest for us. And between those two is probably 60% of the overall business. But, you know, retailers are great to work with for partnerships. Direct marketing companies are terrific to work with. Nonprofits are good candidates. But, you know, in the time that I've been involved in partnership marketing, almost 20 years, it's, you know, we've worked with on virtually every consumer category imaginable. So fashion, food and beverage. Food and beverage is probably one of the areas that has been doing partnership marketing for longer than others, food and beverage and finance. So there's still a lot happening in that area, and we certainly tap into those industries quite a bit. You see, you know, just speaking with the earlier examples, for instance, with, you know, Breyers Ice Cream and Reese's, you see that happening all the time with food brands, either through licensing or tie-in promotions where you might have a wine company and they have a bottlenecker on their wine bottle and they're promoting crackers and cheese. You know, maybe there's a coupon for a cracker and cheese product. So you see that very frequently, and we do tap into that market quite a bit as well.
Okay. And with your years long experience, is there a specific example that you can share that gave you the best learning experience about partnership marketing and taught you the most on the topic?
One that would give me the best example of partnership marketing. A good example of something that we've done recently is we put together a partnership with Visit Myrtle Beach. So Myrtle Beach is the busiest beach destination in the U.S. And actually, they get more travelers between the Memorial holiday at the beginning of the summer and Labor Day holiday at the end of the summer. They get more travelers than anywhere else in the United States. But they have a very strong interest in partnership marketing. And we put together a promotion for them to target potential travelers in the New York City metro market. And so we partnered with Cablevision. Cablevision is the largest cable company providing cable entertainment in that market to about 5 million homes. And they had a loyalty program called Optimum Rewards. And that program rewards customers who participate or purchase all three of their products, primary products, which would be cable, telephone, and internet. Mm-hmm. And so if you purchase all three, they want to incentivize you. Now, that industry, the cable industry, is very susceptible to customers leaving due to finding a better price or, you know, customer service issues, et cetera. So loyalty is very tough for them. But Cablevision put together a first-in-class loyalty program to get customers to stay on board. And we worked with them in several areas to help that process. And one thing that they wanted to achieve was they wanted to get more people to sign up. So they had about 2 million customers who were 2 million customers who were Optimum Rewards, not members yet, but had all three products. And they wanted to have more sign up. And so with the with an offer, a sweepstakes offer, we put together a trip where you could take 8 people to visit Myrtle Beach or to Myrtle Beach through Visit Myrtle Beach. And we put them in a big beach house right on the ocean. The sweepstakes was worth about $15,000. And you had a $1,000 shopping spree at a local outlet mall. We gave away a lot of attraction tickets while they were there. We did a huge beach banquet so that when you were at the beach, we had a caterer come out and put together this large feast at the beach house. Eight airfare tickets. But that partnership was great because it really demonstrated the power of going beyond the original partnership and pulling more partners into the mix. So we had Visit Myrtle Beach, which was one partner, and they benefited from getting a lot of exposure because Cablevision promoted it through a tremendous number of 30-second spots throughout all of their cable networks. Cablevision benefited because they got thousands and thousands of signups and got plenty of people to come in and sign up for Optimum Rewards who had not been members yet. And those same customers, or the people who had already signed up also came back and hit their website and gave them more traffic, engaged with them, increased goodwill for them. And then beyond those two entities, who were both very pleased with the results and pleased with the number of email addresses that we got for them, we pulled in Spirit Airlines to give away airfare for 8. So it was tremendous for them. They also got some email acquisition as far as names that they could send to their email newsletter to. Then we pulled in Tanger Factory Outlets, which Tanger is one of the premier factory outlet companies and retailers in the country. And then locally, we pulled in some local attractions like the Myrtle Beach Skywheel. They got really great exposure. We pulled in a botanical garden there at the beach. We pulled in a couple other prize providers and made it a wonderful trip. So all in all, $15,000 of prizing, and you know, we probably had 8 partners benefit ultimately. So we continue to do more and more partnerships where we're bringing in 3+ partners into the mix. And it's just, once you get the ball rolling, it's just so much easier with some of these promotional partnerships to bring in multiple partners and have more and more people benefit.
Yeah, this is a very nice example indeed, where you are showing the wins for every partner involved, and even obviously the consumer who's signing up has a win in the attraction of the sweepstake, but also the fact that they are now in the loyalty rewards program. So that's
absolutely
that's a very nice showcase, and I assume that you are using this showcase not only here in the podcast but also with potential new customers to show what you can do.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes.
Very nice. So, what would be your number one recommendation for people or organizations who are entering into a partnership marketing agreement?
As far as entering into just partnership marketing if you're an organization and you say, hey, we want to explore partnership marketing, you know, the first thing you need to do is look at the assets that you have as a brand. And so what are those assets? Have we been in business for a long time? Is our brand name itself something that's well known? So we've done some partnerships with Disney, for instance. So Disney's got one of the most recognized brands in the world, and they can just use their name and create a lot of leverage with their name alone. Mm-hmm. So beyond that, you look at other assets. What's our customer base? How big is our customer base? And with that customer base, how can we pull other partners in so that they can take advantage of that? Can we allow a partner to access some of our email, you know, our email subscribers by including them in an email newsletter? What do we have on Facebook? Is there something, you know, if we put a post for our partner on our Facebook page, is there benefit there? On our website, digital channels are some of the easier channels to utilize in a partnership. If you're selling a product at retail, can we include a partner in our retail packaging? Can we include a partner on the promotional, the promotional shelf with some type of display? You know, are we doing any advertising where we can include the partner? You have to look at all your marketing channels that you're utilizing and say, okay, which of these channels can we make open to other partners? Now, somebody might say, well, you know, our email, we're really protective of our email list, and we don't even want to include a partner in a newsletter. Now, few people will rarely ever just give an email address to someone else to use. You almost always have to be part of an email that's going out from the partner. They'll include your information in their email, but rarely, because of privacy rules, you'll almost never see that. And almost all privacy policies will tell customers when they opt in that, you know, we're not going to give your email address to anyone else. But so you have to decide what areas can we allow a partner to tap into. And so once you've got that figured out, then you have to say, well, you've probably already done this first, but then you ask yourself, okay, what areas do we want to promote and pull, you know, where a partner can help us? So are we trying to get new email subscribers ourselves? Are we trying to launch a new product? Are we trying to, you know, if you're a destination, is there a certain event at our destination that we want someone to be aware of? So you really finding out what marketing objectives you want the partnership to, the partner, prospective partners to help you with, and then the assets, that you can use, to make that partnership happen. And then at that point, you put together your prospect list, of potential partners, and then you start, you know, making phone calls, sending out emails, going on LinkedIn, whatever it takes, to get in touch with the key decision makers, that can decide to move forward with a partnership with your company. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then the conversations begin. And the key thing is once, during those conversations, you want to make sure that the partner you're talking to is very mindful of your partnership, marketing needs, just as you need to be mindful of theirs. So I've seen a lot of partnerships come together, and one partner is very focused on what they want. And they're, you know, they'll go in and say, here's what we want. Here's what we want. Here's what we want. Here's what we need you to do. And those are the partnerships that are going to be the least successful. It really comes down to, you know, here's our objectives. What are your current objectives, and how can we marry those together to put together an effective partnership marketing campaign? So those are the ones that are effective, and those are the partnerships that end up being long-term as well. When you find partners that will work with you on a long-term basis, that's, you know, those are the ones that you really want.
Interesting. So you are with partnership marketing in a very specific area of the whole collaboration spectrum. But I see many similarities when it comes to, for instance, strategic alliances, where you spoke earlier about communication and trust as a need. Now you have it, certainly you're talking about openness and comparing and looking also what the other partner wants. And indeed, also in other areas of collaboration, we see that if you're only focused on your own wants and needs and not on your partners, then you are the least successful in creating a partnership. So interesting to see those similarities there.
Yeah, the process is very similar. I mean, even though, you know, partnership marketing would be a subset of strategic alliances in general, the process is very similar.
Yeah.
You know, it's in strategic alliances, you know, if you're working on the technical side of strategic alliances, it's still very much the same process. I mean, you have to have both partners have to be aligned, and that alignment is critical.
Absolutely. Yes. Is there a specific business book or book about collaboration partnership marketing that you would like to recommend to our listeners?
I would say there's probably two that are my favorite. One's a friend of mine actually wrote one of the first books exclusively about partnership marketing. So there's not a lot exclusively about partnership marketing. There's a lot of books out there that might dabble with partnership marketing or focus on it, you know, one side of it or something. But Ron Konditsky, who's in Toronto, actually has his own agency, his own partnership marketing agency. He put together a book a few years back, and it's a great textbook, A to Z type book that for someone who's not real familiar with partnership marketing, really gives a good basis of partnership marketing principles and, you know, how to execute a partnership marketing campaign from beginning to end. And then the second one, there's another good book that's just, I think, terrific over, I'm kind of a data-driven guy, and this really appealed to me, but it's called The Power of Two. And this book was written by two gentlemen. One was Rod Wagner, and the other Gil Muller, who actually worked with Gallup polled and Gallup polling, and they put together a lot of data about how, you know, and showed it from a data perspective how working in collaboration with others, you know, how powerful that is. So I always like to look at the, you know, collaboration as, you know, 2 + 2 = 5, and that in working with others many times that you're going to get much more than just double of your own efforts if you're working individually.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. but both of those books are really good.
Okay, great. I will link to them in the show notes. And I believe a year or so ago, a guest already mentioned The Power of Two, but the other book is absolutely new on the list, so I will link to it, especially also there. So, Mike, where can people find more about you and about your business?
Partnershipsource.com, our website, is probably the best place. You can always you can also follow me on PartnershipsWin on Twitter. So we've got Facebook and other, you know, the other social media outlets, but the website is probably the easiest place. And of course, contacting me directly is always the best way to get information about us. And my email address is mike@partnershipsource.com.
Excellent. I will make it easy also here for the people and link to it in the show notes. So is there anything that you would like to share with our listeners that we haven't discussed yet?
I don't think so. I appreciate your time today. I mean, I would just say with partnership marketing in general, if you're not doing it now with your brand or your company and your, you know, marketing is your specific function, then certainly I would encourage you to explore it, because it's an area that enables you to, you know, save considerably, cut into your marketing expenses so that you're not spending as much, and at the same time, grow your customer base. Customer acquisition also helps with customer retention in many cases, and it's almost always at a fraction of the cost of typical marketing.
The reason for doing it sounds like a no-brainer.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, thank you for being my guest today, Mike.
Thank you, Peter. I really appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Collaborative Business Podcast with Mike Burnett about partnership marketing. The details of what we discussed and the links to the books and website can be found in the show notes of this episode over at petersimoens.com. And when you find these conversations of value, please take a moment to leave a review on iTunes. Reviews will help to increase the visibility of a podcast into the iTunes system. And with that, it will help more people find the Collaborative Business Podcast. Thank you in advance for leaving your review. That's it for this week. Bye for now. Until next week.